Penguin Random House Audio presents Quit, The Power of Knowing When to Walk Away. This is the author, Annie Duke. To my children, my infinity. Prologue. The Gaft Scale. In October 1974, boxer Muhammad Ali pulled off one of the greatest upsets in the history of sports when he knocked out George Foreman in the famous Rumble in the Jungle. With that victory, Ali regained the heavyweight boxing championship, a title he had first earned when he dethroned Sonny Liston a decade earlier in 1964. Ali faced unbelievable odds and adversity on the way to this momentous triumph. In 1967, he was stripped of his heavyweight title after refusing to serve in the Vietnam War, depriving him of the opportunity to fight for 3.5 years during what should have been the prime of his career. After that layoff, he had to fight his way back into contention for another 4 years to get the title shot against George Foreman. By this time, Ali was nearly 33 and had fought as a professional 46 times. Foreman was heavily favored, younger, bigger, stronger, undefeated, and considered indestructible. Ali had split a pair of fights that went the distance against both Joe Frazier and Ken Norton. Neither Frazier nor Norton lasted 2 rounds against Foreman. When Ali bested Foreman, he cemented his status as the greatest of all time. Muhammad Ali became a symbol of grit. Against all odds, among a sea of naysayers, he had refused to give up and triumphed. Is there any greater testament to the power of persistence and perseverance when it comes to pursuing your dreams? But the story doesn't end there. That same grittiness led Ali to fight for 7 more years. From 1975 to December 1981, Ali persisted, despite repeated, unambiguous signals that he should quit. In 1977, after friends and reporters noticed signs of his physical and mental deterioration, Teddy Brenner, the matchmaker at Madison Square Garden, which had hosted 8 Ali fights, begged him to retire. Ali waffled. Brenner followed with the announcement that Madison Square Garden would never host another of his fights. "I don't want him to come over to me someday and say, 'What's your name?' The trick in boxing is to get out at the right time, and the 15th round last night against Ernie Shavers was the right time for Ali." A week later, Ali's fight doctor, Ferdy Pacheco, also tried to get him to retire after receiving a post-fight lab report about the condition of Ali's kidneys. After getting their response, Pacheco was the one who quit. In 1978, Ali lost his title to Leon Spinks, who had boxed as a professional only 7 times. In 1980, he barely, and only under suspicious circumstances, obtained medical clearance in Nevada to fight Larry Holmes, the current champion. Ali suffered such a physical beating in that loss that Holmes cried after the match. Sylvester Stallone, who was in the audience that night, described the last round as like watching an autopsy on a man who's still alive. Yet Ali still wouldn't give up. Giving up wasn't how he had knocked out George Foreman. Giving up wasn't how he became the greatest. By 1981, Muhammad Ali couldn't get licensed to fight in America, usually a formality with race-to-the-bottom standards between state commissions to get any marketable fight. If the world was ever screaming, "Time to hang up your gloves," that was it. But he went ahead and fought in the Bahamas anyway. He lost again, in an embarrassing spectacle even by boxing standards. The promotion was such a mess that they couldn't find a key to the venue. They provided only 2 sets of gloves for the entire undercard, so there were additional lengthy delays to unlace the fighters' gloves so they could be reused. They had to borrow a cowbell to signal the start and end of each round. Muhammad Ali obviously paid a heavy price for continuing to fight until he was nearly 40. He had already shown signs of neurological damage toward the end of his career. All those punches he absorbed after vanquishing Foreman unquestionably contributed to the 1984 diagnosis of Parkinson's disease and his physical and mental decline thereafter. Persistence is not always the best decision, certainly not absent context. And context changes. The same grit that helped Ali become such a great champion, admired and revered almost without equal, became his undoing when it drove him to ignore signs that were obvious to anyone on the outside looking in that he should quit. That's the funny thing about grit. While grit can get you to stick to hard things that are worthwhile, grit can also get you to stick to hard things that are no longer worthwhile. The trick is in figuring out the difference. Grit versus quit. We view grit and quit as opposing forces. After all, you either persevere or you abandon course. You can't do both at the same time, and in the battle between the two, quitting has clearly lost. While grit is a virtue, quitting is a vice. The advice of legendarily successful people is often boiled down to the same message: stick to things and you will succeed. As Thomas Edison said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. Soccer legend Abby Wambach echoed this sentiment over a century later when she said, "You must not only have competitiveness, but ability, regardless of the circumstance you face, to never quit." Similar inspirational advice is attributed to other great sports champions and coaches, such as Babe Ruth, Vince Lombardi, Bear Bryant, Jack Nicklaus, Mike Ditka, Walter Payton, Joe Montana, and Billie Jean King. You can also find almost identical quotes from other legendary business successes through the ages, from Conrad Hilton to Ted Turner to Richard Branson. All these famous people and countless others have united behind variations of the expression, "Quitters never win and winners never quit." It is rare to find any popular quote in favor of quitting except one attributed to W.C. Fields. "If at first you don't succeed, try again, then quit. There's no use being a damn fool about it." Fields was hardly a role model, creating a public persona out of characters who loved drinking, hated children and dogs, and eked out an existence on the fringes of society. That's not much of a counterbalance, and Fields didn't actually say it. By definition, anybody who has succeeded at something has stuck with it. That's a statement of fact, always true in hindsight. But that doesn't mean that the inverse is true, that if you stick to something, you will succeed at it. Prospectively, it's neither true nor good advice. In fact, sometimes it's downright destructive. If you're a bad singer, it doesn't matter how long you stick with it. You're not going to be Adele. If you're 50 years old and set your sights on becoming an Olympic gymnast, no amount of grit or effort will make it possible for you to succeed. Thinking otherwise is as absurd as reading one of those articles about the habits of billionaires, finding out they wake up before 4 a.m., and figuring that if you get up before 4 a.m., you will become a billionaire. We ought not confuse hindsight with foresight, which is what these aphorisms do. People stick to things all the time that they don't succeed at, sometimes based on the belief that if they stick with it long enough, that will lead to success. Sometimes they stick with it because winners never quit. Either way, a lot of people are banging their heads against the wall, unhappy because they think there is something wrong with them, rather than something wrong with the advice. Success does not lie in sticking to things. It lies in picking the right thing to stick to and quitting the rest. When the world tells you to quit, it is, of course, possible you might see something that the world doesn't see, causing you to rightly persist even when others would abandon the cause. But when the world is screaming at the top of its lungs to quit and you refuse to listen, grit can become folly. Too often, we refuse to listen. This may be, in part, because quitting has a nearly universal negative connotation. If someone calls you a quitter, would you ever consider it a compliment? The answer is obvious. Quitting means failing, capitulating, losing. Quitting shows a lack of character. Quitters are losers, except, of course, when it involves giving up something obviously bad, like smoking, alcohol, drugs, or an abusive relationship. The English language itself.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?